Okay, this week I want to do the Hakatama of the Maharal to Derech Chaim, his commentary on Pirkei Avos. There's some controversy what the name of the commentary is, whether it's Derech Chaim or Derech HaChaim. If you look in this edition of Maharal, it says Derech HaChaim. This edition of Maharal says Derech Chaim. Rabbi Hartman discusses in his introduction to the introduction whether it's really Derech Chaim or Derech HaChaim. Different printings had different names for it. But whatever the actual pasuk is Derech Chaim. It's based on the pasuk of Mishlei, is Derech Chaim. But whatever it is, I want to discuss this introduction. But before we discuss the introduction to the Maharal's commentary on Derech Chaim, it's important to know a little bit who the Maharal was. Maharal, I'm not an expert in Maharal. I have a hard time with Maharal. I was never really trained to read Maharal, but you know, a little bit, to dabble a little bit, I thought is Kedai, certainly Kedai. The Maharal lived in the 16th century. He was born in the earlier part of the 16th century. He's known as the Maharal mi Prague, not because he spent his whole life in Prague, but because he did spend some amount of time in Prague, and he was the chief rabbi in Prague for a while. The Maharal, we don't know who his Rebbeim are, I don't think. I don't think we know whose influences were in terms of his learning, and maybe that contributes to the fact that his learning is so unique. He has such a different style than everybody else. It's not like he's following any other patterns of any other Gedolim in terms of their style of learning. He had very strong ideas about how people should be educated. He thought that the educational system should do what it says in the Mishnayos, in Pirkei Avos, Ben Chamesh LeMikra, Ben Esra LeMishnah. He thought people should continue to learn Mishnayos, and that Mishnah should be a very important part of people's daily learning in general. And in fact, he had Talmidim. One of his primary Talmidim, probably the primary Talmid, was the Tosfos Yom Tov. Tosfos Yom Tov wrote the Sefer Tosfos Yom Tov as a fulfillment of his Rebbe's dream, that he wrote a Tosfos Yom Tov, a commentary on the Mishnayos, hoping to encourage more Balbatim and more people, more Lomdim, to learn Mishnayos on a regular basis. The Maharal is described by Rav Huttner and others, who Rav Huttner was very taken by the Maharal. The Maharal's farim for a long time weren't so widely learned. There were a few major personalities, philosophers, Gedolim, who were clearly deeply influenced by the Maharal. Rav Dessler, certainly in his writings. Rav Kook was very influenced by the Maharal. And Rav Huttner also was very, very much influenced by the Maharal. And Rav Huttner used to refer to the Maharal as Nistar Belasho Nigla, that the Maharal was teaching you the Torah Sanistar. He was teaching you the deepest Kabbalistic ideas, but not in Kabbalistic language. He was doing it Balashon Nigla. He was doing it in regular language that we all feel like we're able to understand. Rav Huttner was so taken by the Maharal that he called his kolel the Gor Aryeh kolel. Gor Aryeh is, of course, the Maharal's Sefer and Chumash. In fact, the Yisod of all Sifrei Maharal is said to be the Gor Aryeh. Gor Aryeh, which is commentary on Rashi, on Chumash, it's not a commentary on Rashi, is said to be the basis of every other one of the Sifrei Maharal. If you want to understand Maharal, you need to learn Gor Aryeh, even though it seems like a very Pashut Sefer. It doesn't seem like a very philosophical Sefer, but there are a lot of ideas that he draws out in Gor Aryeh that he then uses in many of his other Svarim. So if you ask the average person what was Maharal's greatest accomplishment, so people will say the golem. The Maharal made a golem. The Maharal, we don't have any real record of the Maharal making a golem. We know that an author in the 19th century decided to write a nice story about how the Maharal made a golem. Maharal lived in the 16th century. The fact that we don't have any record of a golem until the 19th century is a little bit curious. You know, leads you to believe that maybe this golem deal wasn't as big a deal as people make it out to be, or didn't really happen. There are all sorts of legends about how you can't go up to the attic in the shul in Prague because you're going to see the remnants of the golem there. People have gone up there and no one's seen any remnants of a golem there. As Dr. Schneur Lyman, in his talk about the golem, he did impeccable research on the issue of the golem of Prague and tracing back where it comes from and where the idea originally came from. So he says the question is not whether the Maharal could have made a golem. The question is whether the Maharal in fact made a golem. But either way, whether he made a golem or didn't make a golem, much more impressive than making a golem is that the Maharal made a Taisus Yantif. That's a much bigger deal than making a golem. That certainly has a much greater impact on the Jewish people than making the golem. And he was a prolific author. He wrote a ton of Svarim. You have the Sifrei Maharal on the shelf over there, just volumes and volumes. The Gor Aryeh and Chumash and the Sivas Olam, which is more of a Musar Sefer Tiferes Yisrael on Shavuos, which on Torah really, which is meant to be learnt on Shavuos. Gvuras Hashem for Pesach, the Netzach Yisrael, which relates to Tisha B'Av and Churban and Galus, Ner Mitzvah and Chanukah, or Chadash on Purim, Derech Chaim, which is what we're doing right now, the commentary on Pirkei Avos, the Be'er Agola, which is on the Gemara, on Agadah, certainly on Agadic parts of the Gemara, the Chidushi Agados, also on Agadites of Gemara, Drashos of the Maral, there's Divrei Negidim, which is on the Pesach Seder, Chidushim al Hashas, that the Maral wrote, that we have on several Masechtas of Shas, and then there are a lot of other things that he wrote that for some reason were lost. He wrote Tshuvas we don't have, he wrote some sort of Sefer on Shabbos we don't have, on Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, for some reason we don't have those for him, but he wrote a ton of things. So why are we doing the Hakdama to the Maral and Pirkei Avos? I just told you that the primary Sefer of the Maral, the one that you really, that's the Yesoda Yesodos, is the Gor Aryeh. So why would I choose to do the Hakdama to the Derech Chaim? We should do the Hakdama to the Gor Aryeh. So the answer is, there is no Hakdama to the Gor Aryeh. So it's very difficult to do the Hakdama to the Gor Aryeh. So instead, we're going to have to do the Hakdama to the Derech Chaim. Okay, so let us begin the Hakdama. So the Maral works, since the name of the Sefer is Derech Chaim, he starts by explaining the Pasuk from which the phrase Derech Chaim comes. Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or v'derech chayim tochachos musar. Ha'adam asher bara Hashem yizbarach al adama sukaso anon va'arafel. Says the Maral, man lives in this world in a place of darkness. Man lives in a sort of in a cloud. Man does not have great clarity in this world. Adshu yoshev b'choshech. We live in darkness. We sit in darkness. V'lo or. Because we are bound by our physical bodies, and our physical bodies represent a certain level of darkness. Tzaddikim in Gan Eden are going to be removed from the physical body, and because of that, they experience the or of Gan Eden. That's what we call the or hagonuz the tzaddikim. Rashi already alludes to on Chumash, and the Chazal talk about that. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a certain or in Sheshes Yemei Bereishis that he's saving for the tzaddikim la'asalavo. It's often referred to as the or hagonuz, or the Or HaTzafun. Maral calls it the Or HaTzafun, the hidden light. My shul has a Torah journal that they put out. They said, what should we call the title of the journal? So we're in North Woodmere. So I said, Or HaTzafun, whichever. So we're the hidden community outside the five towns in North Woodmere. So the Or HaTzafun, that's the hidden light for the tzaddikim. Once the tzaddikim are removed from their Gashmios, but in the Gashmios that we have, that we're attached to, we're in a certain level of darkness. It's difficult for us to find the opening, the way out of this darkness, and find the path toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate light. Then says the Maral, even if we use our intellect, we use the fact that we're human beings who are created with a brain, who have Bechira Chavshis, who could choose to do and not do, and don't just react to things, and we use that as our guide to choose our path in life. Ein hadavar hazeh rak ma sheroi la'adam la'asos mitzad shehu adam. You know where that will get you? That will get you as far as being a human being, but it will not get you to a higher level than that. Meaning to achieve humanity and not to be a behema, you could use your regular seichel. Shenasla Hashem yisbarach haseichel asher hu ner meir. That's a very important element. We need to use our seichel. Our seichel is going to tell us not to do dangerous things, not to do self-destructive things. It's going to tell us not to, you know, do drugs and not to take unnecessary risks and things like that. That's what makes us human. That's our seichel. The seichel will lead us to know what to do as an Adam. But But that doesn't tell us why we, Klal Yisrael, were chosen as a nation. The other nations of the world can use their seichel. It's not an accident. The Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach are all mitzvot that probably you could have figured out with seichel. You could figure out on your own. Because their responsibility is to use seichel, to be human. Our responsibility is to be an Am HaNivchar, is to be beyond human, is to be something that's on a higher level. We were chosen from amongst all the nations. This is beyond our human intellect. So in order to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk says that we're supposed to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're supposed to attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in a couple of places, how's that possible that we can attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It seems to be, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Eish Uchla, he's an all-consuming fire. So how's it possible that we can connect to an all-consuming fire? The Gemara has two etzes in different places. One etzah, the Gemara says, is mistabek b'talmidei chachamim, that we connect to talmidei chachamim. They are a little bit closer. They have that deeper connection. So we connect to those who are more connected. The other way the Gemara says is mahu af ata. The way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you see that Hashem has rachmanus, we should have rachmanus on other people. If we see that Hashem takes care of people, gives them oxygen, gives them food, gives them clothing, we should do our best to be able to provide others with things. We act like Hashem. The Gemara says in several places. That's how we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says the Maral, our mission on this earth is not just to be good people, but to connect to Hashem. Seichel alone doesn't do that. We need something more. So how do we accomplish that? How do we get our something more? The way to do that is by connecting to the actions that Hashem specifically asks us to do. I mean, the Maral is, the Rav Hartman points out, there are a few words probably missing over there. What he meant to say is, how is it possible that human intellect, which is going to choose the right path for a person, is going to help us go to the next level, is going to help us rise to the next level? So here's the answer. We do those things that Hashem specifically said we should do, what we call mitzvahs. Mitzvahs asay, umashem marchik adam in Hashem yisbarach Hashem baruch habo. And that which Hashem specifically says not to do, we don't do. And that's what we call mitzvahs lo sasay. So by doing mitzvahs and refraining from averos, we achieve a higher level of existence. We're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a more meaningful way. All of this, by the way, everything he's saying until now is just to explain the first phrase of the pasuk, ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar. Why is he explaining that phrase? Because the next words in the pasuk are v'derech chayim, and he named the book derech chayim. In order to explain derech chayim, the Maral first has to explain the first half of the pasuk. So he says, first thing you need to know is to achieve beyond what the rest of humanity can achieve, we need to connect to mitzvos. We need to refrain from averos. Ad shebazeh yuchal ha'adam lagia el ha'tzlachasa ha'achrona li'oso davak bo yisbarach. That's how we achieve the ultimate hatzlacha, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'davar zehu l'mala min ha'seichel, and that is beyond just regular human intellect. L'kach the light that lightens up the darkness that a person sits in, that a person dwells in, who a Torah v'amitzvah, is Torah and mitzvahs. But, says the Maral, there's a difference between the two, between mitzvah and Torah. Mitzvah means one thing, Torah means something else. V'zel d'chsiv kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Mitzvah is referred to as a ner. Torah is referred to not as a ner, but as or. Now, both a ner and or light up darkness, and therefore they're both critical in terms of lighting up the dark world, the physical world that we live in. But they're different from each other. They mean different things. What is a ner? How do you translate ner? Candle, right? Everyone says candle. Now, if you actually, if when you study the Gemaras and Shabbos, and the Chanukah sugyas and the Neros Shabbos, it does mean a candle, but not the way we think of a candle. They didn't, for the most part, they didn't burn wax. What they, how did they light Chanukah? How did they always had oil? You ever go through the shuk on the way to the temple? So you ever walk through the shuk, you see those little clay cheres. They have these little pottery things that you like put oil on one side and a wick comes out on the other side. If you ever seen them, those were the neros. The ner was these little pieces of pottery where you put oil in, and there was a little place where the wick would stick out. That's what they referred to as a ner. But either way, whether it's you viewed as a conventional candle or not, a ner is a physical thing that has a light that burns because you have this physical thing. What's or? What do you view? What does the word or mean? Just light. Now, it's light outside. These things overhead over here are giving us light. But or is not the light bulb. It's not the sun. It's the presence of light. It's not something you can touch. It's not something physical. It's just light. Ner, mitzvah. Ner relates to mitzvah. Torah, or. Torah relates to or. What does that mean? So explains the Maharal. Upirish ner mitzvah v'torah or ratzalomer. Ki a mitzvah doma l'ner. Asher or shalo eino or gomer below guf. A ner is not just light without any physical properties. Rak ha'or nitla b'guf. The ner only gives light when that light is connected to the physical ner. Hu ha'psila v'ashemen v'klei ha'makablu ma'or hazeh. You need the wick, you need the oil, you need that piece of cheres, that piece of pottery that holds the wick and the oil. V'eino or mufshat min ha'guf. It's not this light that's removed from physicality. Shia or bahir, which is going to be this clear light. Rak omed v'nitla b'dover shu guf. It connects to something physical. U'bishvil kach eno or bahir. So it's not the ultimate clearest light. The light you get from a little ner is not the same as the light outside. It's a different quality of light. V'kach ha-mitzvah. That's what a mitzvah is. Hi ha-ma'aseh asher yasa adam al-yidei klei ha-guf. You know when we can do mitzvos? When we have a physical body. Chazal have an expression in Maseches Nida. Mitzvos betelos la'asid lavo. Which pashtos means that once a person dies, he no longer can do mitzvos. This is the olam ha'asiya. Once a person is no longer in this world, he can't do mitzvos anymore. Because mitzvos need a physical guf in order to do mitzvos. It can't exist without the physical guf. Just like a ner. A ner needs the wick. It needs the oil. It can't exist without it. By us doing the mitzvos, we're lighting that candle. We're bringing some light into what is otherwise a physical existence. Because this is God's intellect. Mitzvah's borer, Ritzono Shel Hashem Yisbarach. It's the mitzvah of Hashem. It's the will of God. Lekach haMitzvah Nikreis Ner. That's why mitzvah is called the Ner. Aval Torah, but Torah is not called the Ner. Torah's Nikreis Or. Or doesn't need something physical to hold it down. Ki Or Eino Tola B'Davar, Avalu Mufshat Min Aguf L'Gamri. Or is entirely separated from the physical body. So Torah is like the clear light. Torah is timeless. Torah is before Briyas HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah. Torah doesn't need a physical world in order for Torah to exist. Torah is the ultimate light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ube Mesecha Sota. The Gemara in Sota Daf Chafalv tells us, Ezu Darash Rabbi Menachem Bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Menachem Bar Rabbi Yossi darshaned as follows. The Gemara says, the Atala Akos Ves Hamitzvos Biner Ves Hatorah Ba'or. That Rabbi Menachem Bar Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara already notes that mitzvah is connected to ner, Torah is connected to or. Why? And he explains taking this idea a little bit deeper. Ma ner meir lefi sha'a, just like a ner lights for just, you know, it's temporary. Af ha-mitzvah in a megina elu lefi sha'a. When one does mitzvos protect us, but they only protect us temporarily. Ves ha-Torah ba'or, but Torah is compared to or, because ma or megin li'olam, just like or protects us forever, af ha-Torah megina li'olam, meaning a ner lasts as long as the oil in the ner can last. Once the oil is out, the ner is out. Or can exist forever. So the Torah represents Or, that's going to be there to protect us forever. What does that mean? Says Maral, ki a mitzvah shi maisa adam, vein maisa adam rak al yidei aguf. Mitzvahs are done by people, physical bodies, v'kol guf utachas asman kasher yadua. Physical bodies are only here in Meishnos of Shaladim Shivim Shana. We're here, what, 70 years? If we're begvuros, 80 years, if we're lucky, more than that. But ultimately, it's Keheravayin. We're here for a brief period, a blip on the screen of history. The physical body is not here for all that long. The guf isn't here. So the mitzvah is only lufi sha'a. It's only temporary. He called over sharu guf utachas hazman. Anything that's a guf, by definition, is limited by time. Ulekacha mitzvah shi'al yidei guf adam, hi magina bizman bilvad. So mitzvah, which is on the guf, is only temporary. V'zeh shamar sha mitzvah l'sha. Avala Torah, shehi b'lo guf. Torah, which doesn't require a physical body, she has sagas haseichel. How do we do Torah? We do Torah with our intellects, without physically doing anything. Ein l'guf esekba. Our body has nothing to do with Torah. You can have people who are completely incapacitated, but their brain works, and they're able to be masik Torah. But I know a guy who has Nebuch, who's diagnosed Lou Gehrig's disease, and he can barely talk anymore, he can't move his hands, but he sits and learns all day, and his seichel is still there. He sits and learns, looking at the computer screen with his eyes, and being able to control. The Torah is something that doesn't need a guf. Ulekacha Torah magi. And that's why Torah protects forever. Kasher Adam Davak b'Torah Sichlis Shein Leitolos b'Zman Klal. Torah is not limited to time. Ulficha Chamar Kasuv Ki Ner Mitzvah v'Torah Ar. That's what the first half of this pasuk means. Ner Mitzvah v'Torah Ar. Veima Mi'irim LaAdam LaAvio Al Tachliso HaAchron HaMalah HaElyona. They bring a person to that level that's beyond what the rest of humanity is expected to achieve. Asherhu bakhashas v'chipus kol chai asheruhu ala adama. It's what we search for. It's what when we wake up every morning and we ask ourselves that question: why did God put me on this earth? What am I here to accomplish? How am I going to be able to attach myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar. We start with mitzvos and we continue with Torah. Va'omar od. And now he says, let's go to the second half of the pasuk, because that's what this book is named after, the second half of the pasuk. V'derech chayim tochachos musar. And these additions, it's on the first page. Va'omar od v'derech chayim tochachos musar. In the next paragraph. That it says, v'derech chayim tochachos musar. Ratzaloma, umikol makom tochachos musar, heim advar masher einam mitzvos haTorah, rak mashe nasan seichel adam mina musarim. Musar is not mitzvos haTorah. Musar means that a person intellectually realizes right from wrong, that he does things that are derech chayim, that are just normal way to live. Midos, to do the right things, to have the proper character traits. Ubemedrash vayikra rabba lishmor derech etz hachayim chav vav doros kadma derech eretz es haTorah. The Medrash says that derech eretz was here 26 generations before Torah. Whatever that means. What does it mean to have generations before you have people? I don't know. But whatever it means, 26 generations before Torah, there was derech eretz. Derech eretz kadma laTorah. I'm sure we're all familiar. Sherm lishmor derech zed derech eretz etz hachayim zed haTorah. Right, Lishmar Derech is a reference to Derech Eretz. Eitz HaChayim is a reference to Torah. Ad Kan. So why is Torah called an Eitz HaChayim? Umash Nikra Torah Eitz V'Derech Eretz Derech. The reason Torah is called an Eitz and Derech Eretz is called the Derech. M'nei Sharotzo Lomar Ki HaTorah Hi Netia Chazaka. Torah is like something that's planted very firmly. Ki Eitz HaZeh Shiyo Netua B'Chozek V'Yeshel Shashim Gedolim. If you have a tree that's been there forever, that has very large roots, Asher Im Kol Aruchas Balim Balim Ein Maziz Eitz HaZeh Mimakomo. All the winds in the world can blow and they're not going to knock that tree out of its place. Kach HaTorah Hi Netia Chazaka. That's why Torah is called an Eitz. Torah is powerful, it's strong, and there are plenty of winds that come and try to knock down the Torah. But the Torah will always stand. Netiyas haTorah, hiim Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem imenu Yisbarach, atzula haTorah azos, misuderes osob. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects this Torah. Ukmoshi is barul bekamim mekomos. Echanatia zos yotis min Hashem yisbaruch moshe etz yotzim makom tiyasa uyadama. Just like a tree has to be nourished from the ground, it can't exist unless it's receiving constant nourishment. The Torah is being constantly nourished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is a Torah S'chaim. It's a living Torah. And why is it living? Because it's nourished by the ultimate source of life, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vim kol bayolam bayim lakar HaTorah. So all the people could come and try to uproot the Torah. They cannot remove a single word from the Torah. They're not going to be able to take anything out of the Torah. Like the Medrash tells us, when Shlomo Melch married all those women, and the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to marry too many wives. The Torah went up and complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's going on over here? If he's going to be mevatel one letter of this Torah, then the whole Torah should be batel. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, Hare Shlomo ve'elef kayotzi babetelim v'yud mimcha eno batel. Shlomo and 1,000 men like him will come and go, but a single yud from the Torah, lo yarbe lo nashim, that single yud from the Torah will never disappear. Adkan, what do you see? That even the most brilliant people, the most powerful people, can try to remove a letter from the Torah, it will never happen. The Torah is everlasting, the Torah is always going to be there. The four malchios that exiled the Jewish people, try to uproot the Torah with all sorts of gzeros, they cannot do it. So that's the Torah. It's called an Eitz Chaim. So the Maharal is going to give two reasons why it's called an Eitz Chaim. We saw a little bit that it's called an Eitz so far because it has firm roots and it cannot be blown away, it cannot be knocked down. It's going to be here forever. He says it's called Eitz Chaim Shemor al Nitzchis HaTorah Mitzaratzma V'lo Shetomer Ki HaTorah Chas V'Sholom L'Zman. First of all, it's nitzchius, it's forever. It's not just temporary. People think, oh, times change, so the Torah should change. Times change, the Torah never changes. The Torah is always going to be there, and it was written with the intention of being used for all time. It was meant to be used and to apply equally throughout the time. It's amazing sometimes to me, the short-sightedness of people who try to adapt the Torah to different times, try to change the Torah at different times. Don't they realize how quickly times change and how whatever their adaptation is now is not going to be in style in 20 years from now? It's not going to be in style in 30 years. The whole thing, you rob any meaning of anything. There's no, every religion automatically becomes a one generation religion because ideas don't last much longer than one generation. But the Torah is nitzchius. The Torah lasts forever. So to adapt that which is just a fleeting moment for the benefit to adapt rather something which is nitzchius to fit into something that's just there for a fleeting moment is absurd. It's beyond absurd. It's the ultimate shtus. What's a shota? A shota is someone who can only see what's right in front of him. Doesn't see any of the repercussions of his actions. It seems a lot of fun to jump off of this cliff, but he doesn't realize that when you jump off of this cliff, what meets you at the bottom is death. Right? Because you only see, it seems a lot of fun. I'm in the air. You don't see what's 2 feet in front of you, what's more than 2 feet in front of you. It's the ultimate shtus. A person has to see a view of nitzchius. We have to see that there's a history and a destiny and there's all of humanity where Kodesh Baruch Hu put in place. And unbelievably so, the Maral says. You will never see the word chayim, says the Maral, by anything that could ever stop. Mayan chayim. A mayan chayim is a source of water that never stops. A spring that always goes. Lo kamo adam. And adam is not called chayim, because people aren't chayim. Adam chay. Shaloshon Adam Chai wrote Salam Adam Shiyesh Lo Chiyus. Adam Chai is the description that this is a person who currently has Chiyus. He currently has a life. Adam was a Nefesh Chaya, a living being. imkein adam mekabel achius ve'efshar sheyisulak achius shekibel. An adam can be mekabel chius, and an adam can lose that chius. Aval eitz ha-chayim, but the word chayim, sha'eitz hu ha-chayim atzmo. It is the definition of chayim. It is chayim. Ein lo hefzik. That's everlasting. Ulekach nikra Hashem yisparach, and that's why the only other thing that's called chayim, Hashem is called Elokim Chayim, the living God. Shua Chayim Anitzchi Matzma. Hashem is the source of all life. Makom Shneamar Chay Hashem. And when it says in the pasuk Chay Hashem, Chay is the same as Chayim. Maral gives a little dictuk lesson. He says Chay is not the same as Chay. Chay means like Chiyus. Chay means Chayim. Chayim is everlasting. Chay Chiyus is not everlasting. Chay Paro with a tzere. That's not Chayim, Maral says, of Hidiktuk. So he says, that's why what's called Chayim? Eitz Chayim is the Torah. Elokim Chayim. Only those things that are everlasting. Aval Derech Eretz, says Maral, Nikra Derech. Derech Eretz is called Derech. What's a Derech? A Derech is, let's say you have a massive forest, and you need to know, you need to go from one end to the other, and it's very easy to get lost. So the guide tells you, look, we paved a road through the forest. Just stay on the road, and you won't get lost. A Derech is a path to take, so that you won't get distracted, you won't turn off in the wrong directions. So you won't turn to the right or to the left. Derech means something that keeps you where you're supposed to be. And that's nikra derech chayim. Mipreki derech eretz hu tochachas musar v'kaldivri musar shleil chadamachrei tavis gufa v'chumro. He says, what is musar? Musar is, don't just do what feels good. Don't just do it. You have a taiva for something, so you just do it. No, you may see a beautiful tree as you're walking through that forest. Oh, I wonder what it's like to climb that tree. You can go, you can climb the tree, you're going to lose the road, and you're going to be lost. So you know that you have to stay as much as enticing as it is to go see all the creature. Oh, let me chase that deer that was running there. Let me see what's going on. Let me see the beauty of the forest life. Well, you're going to be lost. You're not going to get back to the derech. Sometimes we have to give up our taivos. That's what musar is. We're meyaser ourselves. We cause ourselves to lose out on some physical pleasures in order to stay on that derech. Asher bo dava kamisa v'dover zeh ramzu zal gam kein v'masha amru. This is what Chazal say in Bereishis Rabbah. Kasher nivri se'isha nivra satan ima shalonam rasamach mitchilas ha'torah b'ri ha'se'isha. The satan was created with isha. Shnemar v'yizkor basar tachtana v'kam rasham v'aksiv ha'sov yizkol eretz ha'chavila u'mashani ahib ben haros hudukhsiv v'atamu ki ishi nimshalas l'chomer asher b'chomer dava kaheder v'amisa. A woman is more associated with physicality. Women are more interested in how things look. I remember one of my talmidim when he got married. So I spoke to him about a month after his wedding or 2 months after his wedding, and I asked him, you know, I give you chasm classes, so tell me what didn't I tell you that I should have told you? Like what should you have? What advice should you have gotten that I didn't give you? He said, one thing I never realized, how much women care about how they look. He said, like we're going to a wedding, and my wife is like, you know, in front of a mirror trying on different things, and like for like a half hour or whatever. And I'm like, wow, I thought she was frum. Like a frum guy doesn't do that. Like, you know, a guy who's a ben Torah doesn't sit in front of a mirror for an hour. It's not. So she's like, and he's like, it took me a while to realize that, and it was impressive that he got this within the first couple of months of marriage. He said, it took me a while to realize that just because she's a woman, it doesn't mean she's not frum. You know, like she does that because she's a girl. She doesn't do that because she's not religious. So he said that's just the nature of woman. That woman is more connected to chomer. That a woman is more connected to the aesthetic. That a woman can't. A man could walk into a house and say, "Oh, this house is beautiful. Every wall is white or gray, and it's beautiful." But a woman says, "No, we should paint. Oh, we should get new, fresh white paint. No, we should have different colors, and there should be." A guy doesn't care, doesn't notice, doesn't. But women are much more connected to the aesthetic, much more to the physical. Shahua satan v'dabzei yisprala. Come on, to the extent that man chases the physical, though, very often it chases him away from from the spiritual. He says, I don't have time to get into this right now, but just know this. Tochachos Musar means don't follow all your taivas. That brings us back to our most base physicality. We need to follow the Derech Chaim. We need to stay on that path and avoid all the taivos on the side of the path. And he says, when it says Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Ar V'Derech Chaim Tochachos Musar, it means it relates to L'man Yitav Lach V'Arachta Yamim, meaning to say that in order to achieve Tov, complete Tov. And Tov is something that's also everlasting, because Or is called Tov. That's complete Tov. The Gemara Pesachim says, "Lolim Yetzi Adam B'chi Tov." What does it mean, Yetzi Adam B'chi Tov? The Gemara says it means when you travel during the time when it's light outside. Tov relates to light. So Divrei Musar are given to an Adam HaChayim, which is Arichas Yamim, which takes us away from Misa through Musar by being Miyaser, our physical drives and our physical desires. Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Ar. It's through Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Ar that we achieve that Tov, that Or HaTzafon LaTzadikim that we were referring to before, that hidden light for the Tzadikim that's set aside the Asadava. And then he says, and that explains the Gemara at the beginning of Brachos. The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Shalosh Matanos Nasan Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, V'kulam Lo Nitnu El Al Yidei Yisurin. There are three Matanos Hashem gave us that were all given to us specifically through Yisurin, through suffering. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. And the Gemara has psukim for how we know each of these things were given through Yisurim. So says Maral, Ubir davar zeh, ma she'elu shlosh dvarim nitnu al yidei Yisurim, mnei she'kol elu gimel dvarim heim kedoshim. All of these things are Kedusha. Right? What were the three things? You have Torah, you have Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. They all relate to extreme Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael, yeah, Eretz HaKadosha. Asher Eretz Azos, he nivdelas. Eretz Yisrael is the holy land. It's separate from other land. It's a more spiritually intellectual land, if that makes any sense. Meaning, Eretz Yisrael, Avira de Aradi Yisrael Machkim. Chazal say, what does that mean? The air itself causes greater chachma. It's a land of seichel. More than Shar Ratzos. Vloyu Eretz Yisrael Dafka Hanavua. And Nevuah only happens, with rare exceptions, in Eretz Yisrael. This achievement of human seichel can only be in Eretz Yisrael in its highest level. Ubiarnu zeh b'mekomos harbe. V'atorah shi chachmas elokim ein ba davar gufani. Torah, which is chachmas elokim, has no physical element. Mitzvah has physical element. Torah doesn't have a physical element. So that's the kedusha. V'yoser mizeh olam haba. So that's Eretz Yisrael and that's Torah. But even more than that, Olam Haba, Shein Shem Achilu Shtiyah. The Gemara says, what's Olam Haba? There's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no physicality. It's Tzadikim, Yoshim, Mitzvaseim, Baruch Hashem, Nana Miziv HaShchina. Eretz just being Nana from the Ziv HaShchina, from the glory of God. Umasulak Olam Haba Min HaGufas Lagamri. The Olam Haba is completely removed from physicality. So that's why these things are called Matanos. Matana means, what's a Matana? Matana is a gift. What's the difference between, why don't you call it, when you buy something from a store, why don't you call it a matana? Oh, this was a matana. I paid $200 for it. And then the guy gave it to me as a matana. Why is that not called a matana? Because I deserve it. I paid for it, so I deserve it. Matana is something that's just because. I didn't do anything for it. I'm not shayach to it. It's not really something that should be mine, logically. But someone just decided to give it to me. So he says, these three things are called matana because all these three things relate to something that a bal guf, hachomri, that which is a physical being, can't really fully connect to it because of our physical limits. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the opportunity to connect to it. You could connect to Olam Haba. We have Shabbos Me'in Olam Haba. You could connect to Torah. Unbelievable. It's totally sichli. How can we connect to Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can connect to Torah in a meaningful way. Every Jew is an os in the Torah. Shishim riba osios b'Torah. You can connect to Torah. You can connect to Eretz Yisrael. we can connect to that which is sichli, that which is kadosh. So these things are given al yidei yisurim. What does yisurim mean? He says yisurim is milashon musr. Musr is milashon yisurim. Yisurim means that we give up our physical desires, that we ignore certain physical drives and desires that we have, that we want to do this. No, we'll be kovish the yetzer to do that. And every time we do that, we're able to raise ourselves beyond that physical limitation that we naturally have, and we're able to connect a little bit more spiritually, and we're able to appreciate in Eretz Yisrael a little more. We're able to, and the existence of Eretz Yisrael, I remember I asked my uncle once, my uncle made Aliyah, my aunt and uncle made Aliyah, like shortly after they got married. And I asked my uncle, like, you know, when I was in yeshiva and I was thinking about living in Eretz Yisrael, so I said, how does it work in terms of parnasa? Like, is it a challenge? He said, no, it's very easy. He said, I make $100, let's say, and then I spend $200, and then I save the rest. He said, that's the way you live. He said, it's pure emunah, you know, and it's just you're living beyond a physical existence. I couldn't really get comfortable with it. But you're living beyond the physical. He said, the ain pshat akasuv derechayim tochachas musar al midas yisurin. Shem kein lo yal akasuv kasher klal amikinem mitzvah b'tarav derechayim tochachas musar. It doesn't mean just yisurin, because then it wouldn't be connected to the whole idea. Kein in yisurin ala mitzvah b'tarav. Gam lo shayich derech, rak al derech eretz shenikra derech. Avdas Rabbeinu Zal Bevadei Kamoshe Pirashnu. When Chazal Mino Vier is Kito Chachas Musar Shaksiv Bekra Hainu Divrei Musar HaMiyasir Mes HaAdam Shalayelich Achar Gufa V'chumra. That a person, Musar and Yisurin over here means that which teaches us how to sometimes overcome our physical desires. Rak Yisalik HaDvar Mesha Nimshach Be'am Adam Achar Taivas Gufo. Put those titles aside. That's yisurim for the guf. Yisurim doesn't mean someone has to beat you up. That's how we often think of yisurim, as suffering and punishment. No, yisurim for the guf means to ignore certain earthly desires, to overcome certain earthly desires. And that's what gets us to Olam Haba, to Eretz Yisrael, to Torah. Now he says, okay, this is a commentary to Pirkei Avos, so I have to explain what this Masechta is about and why this commentary relates. Because this Masechta is called Masechta Zavos, Masechta Zos, Nichlu Kol Divrei Musar V'Ma'ata Kamus V'Rava Eichus. There's lots of Musar here, and there are little phrases that have so much in them in these short words of these Mishnayos. Atsham Parakam Niachom Rav Yidu Manda Bailu Mavi Chasida. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, if you want to be a Chasid, Lekay Mili Dinezikin. You should fulfill nezikin. You shouldn't damage other people, or you should know how to deal with it if damages happen. Rava Amar Mili Da'avos, that you should fulfill Pirkei Avos. The Amrilan, some say Mili De'brachos, that you should know brachos well to be a chassid. So Mashas of Rabbi Yehuda Shachasidus told B'mili D'Nezikin, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda relates it to Nezikin and Rava thinks it relates to Avos or brachos, he says because Shleimus Adam comes in three forms. Fascinating idea. The Vilna Gaon made a big deal out of this idea that a person can become shalem in three ways. We often categorize Judaism as two components, Bein Adam L'Chavero and Bein Adam L'Makom. Says the Maral, not so. There are three components. There's Bein Adam L'Chavero, there's Bein Adam L'Makom, and Bein Adam L'Atzmo. What's the difference between Adam L'Chavero and Bein Adam L'Atzmo? Bein Adam L'Chavero is you're nice to someone else. You don't do anything bad to someone else. You're Mevaker Cholim, Bein Adam L'Atzmo is to be a good person, to have proper midos. Let's say a person, is in a room all by himself. One of my Talmidim told me once his uncle is a big fan of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. He's not a frum guy, not an Orthodox guy, so he's able to watch all the Saturday football games. And he was once driving somewhere, and he realized, the Fighting Irish are playing now, and I don't have a TV in front of me. So he pulled over, checked into a hotel so he can watch the game. The Fighting Irish lost. Notre Dame lost the game. The uncle checked out of the hotel, paid for the hotel room, paid for the TV and the window that it went through. So so you say, well, he paid for everything. You know, what's the, you know, if someone is in a room just smashing things and breaking, but they're all his things. Is it a violation of Bein Adam L'Chavero? No violation of Bein Adam L'Chavero. He's not doing anything to anybody. No one even sees him. Bein Adam L'Atzmo. What kind of human being is that? That's a violation of the Ma'atzma. So says Maral, three elements. There's been on the Chaver, Ma'atzma, Be'adam Makom. And these three types of Shleimus include, when a person achieves on all three levels, then everything is working properly. So comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, someone who wants to be a chassid, l'kayem li d'nezikin, don't damage other people. Which category is that? If you're doing that, if you're damaging other people, you can't be called a chassid. So that's b'nadam l'chavero, that you shouldn't actually hurt other people. Says Rava, l'kayem mili da'avos. Avos is all about our midos, to be an ish shalem, to have midos tovos, shlemus of the person. So Rava says, if you want to be a chassid, you need to be b'nadam l'atzmo. And then comes along the amri la of Rava and says, mili de'brachos. What's brachos? Our recognition that everything we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Bein Adam L'Makom. So that's the three things. Bein Adam L'Chaveru, Bein Adam L'Atzmo, Bein Adam L'Makom. And says the Maral, I would suggest that it's not three arguing opinions in the Gemara. They all agree with each other. That they all agree that you need all three of these elements working properly in order to achieve Shleimus. So he says, that's why someone who's marchik himself from nezikin shows that he's removed from ra, that he cares so much not to damage someone else, not to hurt someone else, and that's why Rav Yehuda says be zayir b'mili de nezikin. But something that a person has hanut, meaning what's nezikin, says Maral, nezikin, why would I damage somebody else? What do I benefit from damaging someone else? He says that's the ultimate ra, that I hurt someone else and it doesn't even benefit me. That's nezikin. I'm bothering, I'm damaging someone else, and it doesn't even do anything for me. So that's the ultimate ra. So something that doesn't have any hanot, like nezikin, where you don't get any benefit from it, eino el nefesh ra'a ba'atzmo. That's a person who's a nefesh ra. And then Rava builds on that, and he says, mili da'avos, that a person should give musr to himself, a person should perfect himself. That's the idea of musr, of yisurin. And that, chasidus is told in that. And then the Ikadarmi says mili debrachos, which is seichel, which is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person achieves a higher level of existence and has God in his life. So he says now all shisha sidrei mishnah relate to halachos that relate to the mitzvos of the Torah. Now this mesechta speaks about musr, speaks about bin adam la'atzmo. So why is it that this Masechta makes its way into Mishnayos in general, and specifically into Seder Nezikin, where it is? So he says, because the Pasuk says, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar v'derech chayim tuchaychas musar. Because as much as the rest of Mishnayos are about ner mitzvah and Torah ar, it only works if you have derech chayim tuchaychas musar. If you have the tochachas musar, if you have the ben adam la'atzmo, keeping you on the right path in order to do mitzvos and to achieve Torah. And he says that's why this mesechta is right between mesechas idios and mesechas avodah zarah. He says really tzarech tam. Why is it here in Seder Nezikin, not in some other seder? And this is something, by the way, everyone who ever wrote a commentary in Pirkei Avos asks that question. What's it doing in Seder Nezikin? What does it have to do with Nezikin? Aval davar zeh ki kol divrei musar shem yaser es acher mi yaser oso badin shekach yaser vekach lo yaser vekol davar shu kmo din shayach al seder nezikin. He says because when a person trains himself, you can do this, you can't do that. That is din, and din relates to seder nezikin. Din is justice. It's what is right and what is wrong, and that relates to seder nezikin. And he says all musar is derech eretz, is how to behave properly, and that ultimately relates to how we deal with other people. And he says, "Hadavar hazeh b'midas hadin l'kachar mishkadim derech eretz as the Torah chaf vav doros. Derech eretz preceded the Torah 26 generations. Ki olam noig al yidei derech eretz shuluf yisech l'adam v'davar zeh kadim l'Torah. Derech eretz is intellect, natural intellect outside of Torah, which comes straight from Hashem, and therefore Maseches Edios, which is Edus. Edus relates to Din, is juxtaposed with Maseches Avos, and then because Maseches Avos is also something that that a person could achieve with his own Seichel. Meaning, if Derech Eretz a person could achieve the Seichel, Maseches Avos a person could achieve with Seichel. Manda Bayil Mavi Chasida, Lekayim Mili Da'Avos. It's Lefnim Mishuras Hadin. It's beyond what din actually requires. And he says, and it's juxtaposed with Avodah Zarah, because Avodah is the exact opposite. Avodah Zarah is mishpat and din gone awry. It's gone wrong. He says that's why the Avodah Zarah, the ultimate Avodah Zarah, first Avodah Zarah that Klal Yisrael worshipped and violated in the Torah, is the Egel Azav. Because he has this yisod that Zahav relates to din. Zahav relates to din, and therefore Avodah Zarah, which is the opposite of din, which is the counterpoint of din, was first done with gold. Kesef relates to pashtus. It relates to purity. It relates to, so the liah kesef liah zav, kesef before zahav, nu'um Hashem. Hashem says these are deeper ideals that the Maral has. And then the Maral starts to discuss why it is that we learn Pirkei Avos specifically in the summertime. I'm not going to get into the whole thing right now because we're getting a little late, but one of the things he says is that it's partially just because the summer Shabbosos, the afternoons, are very long and we have time. And during the winter time, it's very difficult. And he says, in order to learn something properly, a person needs to be focused. A person needs to be really able to not be distracted. He said, in the winter it's freezing. You can't learn it in the winter time. It's too cold, and a person's not going to be able to be focused enough. And in the summertime, sometimes it's too hot. So between Pesach and Shavuos, the weather is ideal, so they'll be able to focus, they'll be able to learn Pirkei Avos. It's a very interesting idea. The Maral says that people, he quotes based on Chazal, that it's difficult for people to learn on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a time of Oneg. And when we're and it's going to take away from the Oneg Shabbos when we have to Meimis Atzmal Divrei Torah, when a person has to kill himself over learning Torah. So he says the conditions have to be ideal to be able to learn Pirkei Avos properly. And then he says, but you should know, in my case, so far he explained a little bit about Musar and about Pirkei Avos, but then he finishes up by saying, what's unique about my commentary of Pirkei Avos? Meaning, what am I adding? There's so many other Pirushim Pirkei Avos. So he says something very interesting. He says, you will find lots of commentaries of Pirkei Avos, and my style in general is I do like to quote from other books in general, but nowhere in this commentary will I quote from another book. I won't quote from the Rambam, I won't quote from anyone. All the Bartanura, they all wrote great books in Pirkei Avos. I'm not going to quote any of them. I'm just going to give you my pshat. Why, he says? Because what's the reason that you would quote other Svarim? Either one, to let everyone know something that people don't know. People don't know what the Rambam says about whatever, so I quote it so that people will know. Number two, because I want to respond and show that they're wrong, so I quote something as a straw man, you know, to knock it down. Or number three, to be mechazek them, to show that they're right. Oh, he says this idea, I have five proofs that he's right. He says, none of these are relevant to me. First of all, whatever the Rambam and the Bartanura wrote, it's Dvarim before Samim, everyone knows those things. So those are very well-learned Svarim, you don't need me to inform you about them. To be Meshev al Devarim, to respond to them, Ein Meshiv Nesari Lacharmoso. I shouldn't criticize them and attack them. They're already dead. They're not going to be able to defend themselves. So when am I going to go on the attack and argue with them? So that's not appropriate. To be mechazik devrayim, it's ki yehu deva'ul dekra. They don't need my chizik. They're so much greater than me. What do they need my chizik for? Very, very difficult to understand. Is that not the darko shel Torah? That we argue and we question even those who are dead already? What does he mean? Ein meshiv nesari l'achar misa. I can't argue on anyone that came before me because they're dead already. Or Rav Meisha never argued on Rav Kiva Eger. Rav Kiva Eger was dead by the time Rav Meisha came along. But you argue in Rav Kiva Eger that you have in the Gemara all the time generational machlokos between Amorayim. So what's going on? Rabbi Hartman deals with this a little bit in his introduction to his edition of the Maral, and Rabbi Hartman suggests that you can attack, but only to the extent that you say, I don't understand what they're saying, the problem's in me. But you can't attack by saying that I think they're wrong. He says, that's what the Gemara must mean, in Meshiv Nesari. Still very difficult. Because then how can Rav Meisha argue with Rav Kiva Eger and pass him like Rav Meisha? You know, how can he pass him? Meaning, if his every attack is, I'm wrong, I just don't get why I'm wrong. So, okay, Tzarachian, and continue to do like Rav Kiva Eger. Right? Why does he do like him? No, when you, Rav Shecht always says, that if you're entitled to an opinion, then you have a right to say an opinion, even if you're not as great as Rav Kiva Eger. And you have a right to paskin the halacha and follow. We once asked Rav Shachter, when do you paskin like Rav Soloveitchik? When do you not paskin like Rav Soloveitchik? Sometimes it seems like you do things not like Rav Soloveitchik. He said, when you think Rav Soloveitchik is correct, you paskin like him. When you think he's incorrect, you don't paskin like him. Meaning he's entitled to an opinion also. And if I think that this is what makes sense to me, as a posik, Rav Shachter would say, so then you follow that. So I don't know if I buy Rav Hartman's approach. Although he does say what makes the Maharal in Pirkei Avos different than all the other Sifri Maharal is that Pirkei Avos is the only place where the Maharal does the same thing that all the other commentaries do. Everyone else wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avos, Maharal wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avos. Netzach Yisrael, Teferis Yisrael, all these other books are like brand new, you know, ideas. They're not even, they're just their own independent Sfarim. So maybe that's why, maybe that's what really sets it apart, and that's why the Maharal doesn't want to quote from other commentaries, because he's doing a commentary like everybody else, so read the other commentaries. When he's saying his own ideas, he wants to show that those ideas are also based in other Svarim as well. So he concludes by saying, and he calls it Derech Chaim, based on the Pasuk, V'Derech Chaim Tochachos Musar. And if you find, he says, if you look at my commentary and other commentaries, I trust you to find the MS. Maharal writes in many of Svarim that this idea of MS is, there are a lot of things that look like MS. There are a lot of things you can convince yourself is MS. MS is when, you know, something that could technically fit is not MS. Something that when you look at the words, you say, oh, that's what the words are actually saying. Like it fits perfectly in the actual words. Nikarim divrei MS. Means you don't, it's not Nikarim divrei sheker. Sometimes things aren't true and you could kvetch that and it sounds true. But when something is MS, there's like something, it just resonates a little more and it fits just a little bit better. So it's a kedai to learn one day, the Derech Chaim, and all the Sifrei Maharal, the wonderful Sfarim to learn. Okay.